Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Alrighty, everybody. Good afternoon. It's Friday, July 3rd, 2015. Just the day before the 239th birthday of the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Mr. Ron Kelly's show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith, Irvington, New Jersey. Hello, Mayor Wayne. Welcome.
Hey, how are you? Happy 4th and all that good stuff.
Yeah. 4th of July, the 200, and can you imagine, the United States is only less than 250 years old, and it's one of the, you know, I guess it's probably the most meteoric rise for any country, you know, in probably in the history of the planet. You know, the United States of America being only 239 years old.
Yeah, we're a baby nation.
Yeah, but we are the top economy in the United States of America.
Well, you know, you're the top economy in the world. China right now.
Yeah, yes, we are. We are, but, you know, for us to be only, we're, compared to other countries around the world, many of whom are thousands of years old, we're basically in our infancy, and we're the top economy in the United States, I mean, in the world, in addition to maybe, yeah, with the exception of maybe China and some of the other developing countries, China, Japan. Et cetera. I mean, China has 1 billion people, so you know they have a lot more people in their country than we do. So you'd expect, right? So you expect them to have a better, a little more robust economy than we do. But anyway, everybody, welcome. July 3rd, 2015. It's Rock on the Show featuring Irvington Mayor Wayne Smith and yours truly. Great to be here. It's a little choppy looking outside there, but we're going to do our thing anyway. Thanks so much for joining Mayor Smith and I. And, you know, right off the top, Mayor Wayne, you know, this flag thing, you know.
My wife said you don't call in on that.
Okay, yeah, this flag, you know, are we going too far? You know, I'm asking a question, everybody. 347-426-3214 is the phone number here for the Ron Kelly Show featuring Mayor Wayne Smith. It's 347-426-3214. You can get at us on Facebook, the Ron Kelly Show, Twitter, R. Kelly SR, I believe it is. And also on Instagram and some of the other social media entities. Yeah, are we going too far, Mayor Wayne? Taking the flag off the General Lee. You know, when I was a lot younger, I used to love that show back in 1979. And I didn't know at the time, you know, the significance of the flag because I was young.
Now, what was
and,
the show?
The Dukes of Hazzard. They're taking
the Dukes
flag.
Of Hazzard. And, of course, they had them on the trucks and everything, right?
Right, they had the flag. The Confederate flag was on the top of the General Lee, and I used to love that show. And I mean, I didn't understand the significance of the Confederate flag being on top of that car. But when you look back on shows like Dukes of Hazzard, there were no black folks anywhere on that show. There was It would have really been a hazard. So there were no black folks on that show. Whatsoever, so it kind of like piece, you know, kind of like pieced together. But I think they were going too far, man. Wayne,
they should keep it up.
No, I think they should be removed. Like, we talked about this a little bit last week, and I just want to stretch it out a little bit further because we ran out of time last week.
Right.
So now this flag thing. Now the flag, you know, remove it from state property. No state property should be flying that flag. But if anybody else wants to fly it, if they want to put it on TV, yeah, I don't see the point. You know, I just don't see the problem with that because that's exactly what's going to happen. People are going to start flying the flag on their front porches and et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, removing the flag from the General Lee and stop not selling it anymore. What's your take on all of this? And what did Smith have to say?
I'm for the removal of the flag except for a museum. And the reason why I am, if we're ever going to get any close to dealing with the traumatic issues of race in our society, then we got to come clean with the history of our own country. As you stated in the opening of the show, it is the greatest economic engine in the world and has stood for, at least in principle, as we wrote those glorious words, the preamble of the Constitution and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, while our people were in slavery. So, you know, none of us wants to deal with the hypocrisy that this great nation was founded on. And so as those issues come up, you know, one thing you say, you can't run from your past. Well, those things like that flag are a very live point to people who right now we're having the debate of the century, do Black Lives Matter? And so when you see that symbol of the flag, it shows in this country had a history where black life didn't matter. In fact, you weren't considered a life. You were considered three-fifths of a man. Wasn't in the Constitution?
Yes, it was in the Constitution that black folks
if we grapple with that, certainly I think constitutionally the Ku Klux Klan has a right to exist. We know all those things. But that doesn't mean we don't fight with better ideas and try to influence a society for a greater good and a higher purpose, even though legally these things and people can do what they want. But without a voice against it, the tendency of, and we can't say what history won't do. I mean, Hitler wouldn't have been an issue had not people cut him off at the pass early. But ideas are the most powerful thing in the world. If you ever want to change a society or stop a society from changing, you kill off the idea. So an idea that an evil idea left unchecked will sprout and grow and grow.
Okay, I get that. You know, I get that. But, you know, there's a lot going on social media, especially. Black folks are up in arms about this flag, and you know, deservedly so. I think that, you know, that they do have a point in regards to removing the flag. But, see, are there any other benefits for removing that flag from in perpetuity? Is there any other benefits that we're going to be able to enjoy from having this flag removed? Because now am I going to be able to walk down Springfield Avenue in Newark at 3 a.m. if they remove all remnants of this flag? No. You know what I mean? Do I still have to fear for my life in certain areas where people who look like me are the perpetrators the ones who perpetrate crime and carjacking and stuff like that? No. See, my thing is this. Everybody, I think that a lot of people may weigh in are looking at the wrong, you know, they got a wrong-headed look to this whole problem. You know, the problem that we have with us as a people, I mean, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about slavery and what slavery did to us, Willie Lynch, et cetera, et cetera. I'm really tired of that because this is 2015 now. Should we forget it? No. Should we? But we need to move on from that. We need to move on from that. When you talk about drugs in the black community.
The flag.
Yeah, but removing the flag is not going to remove, it's not going to stop black on black crime.
Well, let's say this. Let's take this idea that what influences society influences people's behavior. That's why advertisers spend so much time out there trying to affect how we think, what we like. Ron, you and I have ideas and part of why we're in the media business, if you will, because we want to have a say about what happens in, not only in our individual lives, but what happens in our community, what happens in our cities, our state, our country, and the world. So ideas are probably the most powerful thing in the world. And I believe that unfestered ideas like this influence people to think they are less than. And that's why they can shoot you at 3 a.m. when you might be coming from an entertainment venue trying to get home because there's no love. That's the deep-seated history. So every idea that we can kill that affects the way people view each other and themselves has a role to play in that. If
Yeah, I get that. But my thing is this, what value, you know, how is removing this flag going to help us as a people? What will we get out of it? Will we be a better, will we be better to each other? Will we treat each other better? Will we respect, love, and trust each other better? Oh, well, you know, because I think removing this flag will have no more effect on black-on-black crime than removing hip-hop music would have an effect on gang membership. You know, I just don't think that
I think the hip-hop thing will have an effect.
No, there's a value to removing this flag, but I really don't think as far as, like, it changing anything or making us better, I just don't think so.
You don't agree with that. When the people view themselves having psychic wins, that's not important to our overall struggle? Let me give you an example. Listening to Royce Watkins on YouTube, and he got into this whole discussion about the Latinos community response to Donald Trump. You've been following that?
Right. The Latinos are up in arms about this. Absolutely. And they should be.
Yeah. But here's my point. Them doing that to Trump, will that have an immediate impact on their condition? Maybe not immediate, but I think it's important for them to fight that struggle because they can't let those kinds of thoughts in the atmosphere, and people think that about certain people. But at the end of the day, they have a psychic win because let me tell you his response. When he said, when Univision said they were going to kick off his show, he said, "I'm a sue him." When NBC said it, he ain't say nothing, did he?
No, but see, but the thing about that, though, man, Wayne, is see, the difference between us and other ethnic groups, see, they had a weapon that they can use against Donald Trump. The Donald Trump shows that, you know, the Miss Universe and Miss USA pageant is televised on Univision, which belongs to the Hispanic people. So they have a weapon that they can use to counteract what Donald Trump said. But see, the weapon was they said, "We're not going to show your contest anymore." They said, "We're not going to show your contest anymore." And see, they were able to react and get an effect. They were able to react and get a big enough a reaction to get a response from Donald Trump. Now he said, "We're going to sue him." You see, but black folks, see, we don't have anything that we can take back from anybody. We don't have that kind of power. And see, this is the problem, right? I was talking on the other show, on the other radio show, Wednesday night, the monthly roundup, rather, with Harvey and Kathy Sinner. You know, the Jews, for example, and Harvey Rockman is a Jew, Jewish, of Jewish descent. And, like, say, like, the Jews, for example, now these people, what other religious ethnic group, whatever the Jews consider themselves, what other ethnic group do you have to endorse before you can get elected to the United States of America? None. Now, you can't say anything bad about anybody, but you have to come to the table with Israel, and you have to endorse Israel if you're running for a state or federal post or a state post. You have to endorse Israel. There's no way around it. You have to. You know, even you, Mayor Wayne, if somebody asks you how you feel about Israel, if you decide to seek the mail to and everything in, then, you know, you may even have to, you know, to say that you endorse Israel.
You know, I'm kind of an orthodox kind of guy.
Yeah, but the problem with us, Mayor Wayne, see, we don't have any power in regard. So when people
see us,
we don't have any power.
Why do you think Walmart and Amazon and all those folks say they're going to stop selling the flag?
Well, because of first of all, man, Wayne, you know, they're doing this. It's good PR. You know, I don't really think they're doing it out of goodness of their heart. It's good PR. See, because there's one thing about this Dylann Roof character. What he did was so reprehensible that nobody wants to have anything to do with it. To a black church. And this has had more of an effect on non-blacks than police killing or anything else. Because he wouldn't go to church.
I think so. I think.
Right.
You get the reverse copycat. Look what happened with, there was another situation, with the police matter. So you had all this, you know, you had all these cases that we've been talking about around the country, you know, where they were, you know, police or alleged police brutality, let's say. And then you had this guy come in, he came in from Washington or Maryland, came all the way to New York because he was, you know, a little crazy. You know, the atmosphere was charged. He came here to New York and shot a cop. So when you have a charged atmosphere like that, somebody could think it's their mission to revenge it, so they'll go into another church or some other ethnic persuasion and do the same thing. So that's why ideas are so such. Look, the diet of ideas that Ruth was swallowing was exactly what we're talking about. You know, this whole Confederate flag thing. He was fed a diet of that white supremacy and that they are the white society is being held back by the advancement of blacks and. So he acted out that idea. That's why it is important to because listen, if we had killed that idea, let's say realistically, we diminished it down to where it's almost non-existent, and we're almost there, actually. You know, I was listening to the Southern Poverty Law Center. They do, research studies on the Ku Klux Klan, and they were saying it's only about 4,000 members around the country. That's based on their estimation. But that 4,000 people influences a whole lot of ideas. And so this kid, wherever he was getting get ideas from the Internet, everywhere now, you don't have to read them in a book or just a newspaper or whatever, but it charged him enough to go do what he did. And that's the power of ideas. That's why the struggle
in
the political economy and the social economy is over ideas. Now, the other thing is I think that Walmart and Amazon backed up on the flag is because if we recognize our economic power and say, well, if you're going to sell that idea to the public, we'll take our patronage elsewhere. And so that's the leverage we do have. That's the leverage the Latino community has. But in addition, you're right, Ron, they had an institution that Trump was doing business with that they shut down. Well, we have the biggest thing about that situation or any situation that happens with our people is that they don't want an overreaction to what takes place. If we were ever to harness our money and say we're only going to buy from these, and that's why it's considered just PR, but it's important because if they don't do it, our money can end up going elsewhere. So if we ever get organized in a pan-Africanist kind of point of view where we companies that we think disrespect us and we take our economic patrons to companies that respect us or we build our own, and my preference is always to build my own, you know, but, you know, you'll take some steps to get there. But we have enough of institutions out there, whether it's colleges, banks, or whatever. If we were to harness our economic weight, we could have a different outcome all over. Like those issues, like you said, walking the street at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, we had our own schools, our own job base where people were working, productive citizens. A lot of that, I believe, would be abated because people would have a place of economic strength. And part of what the dilemma for us is always about where are our people at, not only socially but economically, because a lot of our dislocation comes from, you know, we just don't have an economic life that sustains anything in some communities.
Right, you see, but now, you made a valid point. Now, I've been speaking about this for a long time. About economic power. You see, this is what other ethnic groups have done. Now, nobody would have thought that the Mexicans were that powerful, where these large companies, NBC and Walmart, some of the biggest, Walmart, the biggest retailer on earth, and some of these other companies, Sears, would drop a billionaire white man, excoriate a billionaire white industrialist like Donald Trump for talking about Mexico. So the one thing that stands out for me about this man Wayne is it shows how popular or how powerful Hispanics have come. Hispanics have come full circle. They're very powerful, and now the Republicans have a dilemma because they have to figure out a way to get the Latino vote because if they don't get the Latino vote, they've already admitted.
Well, they got Ted Cruz.
They don't have the Latino vote.
What they are doing, though, what they are doing is featuring conservative Latino candidates like Ted Cruz. Who's the other guy that's running for president?
Well, you know, people don't really consider Ted Cruz a Latino. They don't really consider Marco Rubio a Latino. They're not really considered as Latinos in the real sense of the word, because these guys, they don't look like Latinos.
Are they doing, him like they did Obama? Is he black enough?
Well, yeah, right, because they don't look as, right, because they don't look like Latinos, and they don't sound like Latinos. So they're not even, you know, they don't even have the power of the Latino vote yet, because...
No, we don't know. I'm just saying, but they are trying to do a strategic piece by putting up people, who, at least of their ethnicity, for the highest offices.
Well, you got 16 people who are running for president on the GOP, side. So you really, I mean, it's confusing enough. You got 16 people running, but these two jokers don't have the, they don't have the ethnic, they don't have the
well, they're wrong on immigration,
says,
so they'll never get
Spanish,
that right unless
they
change.
Right, and they may not be Spanish enough, and they both have said some things that were derogatory to the Latino people, both of them. Both Ted Cruz and the other one have said these things. Well, you know what, we'll take a break. Shout out to my director, Marty Hurstein, over at the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which yours truly will be attending starting on the 20th of July. Got to bump up this resume.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. We got to bump this resume up so I can get this thing going. All right, everybody, we'll take a break.
I sent you some congratulations over LinkedIn. I got your response.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you so much. Thank everybody else who congratulated me as well. You know what we'll do? We'll take a break. We'll come right back with more of our July 3rd program, Mr. Ron Kelly Show, featuring Irvington Mayor Wayne Smith, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. BlogTalkRadio.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities. To support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
There was a need in talk radio. And one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is Marching Animal Society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on NorthTalkRadio.com.
All right, enough. All right, it's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Irvington Mayor Wayne Smith. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. July 3rd, the day before the 4th of July. Thank goodness. Whoever's, matter of fact, those of you who are listening who know me, holler at me. Let me know where all the barbecues are going to be. Because, you know, I can't barbecue behind my building. So I got to come out and reach out to some new people that I know. And let me know where the barbecues are. Okay, everybody, it's about 24 minutes past the hour. Where the barbecue's at? Let's go. I'm not one of those. I don't eat pork, people. Bring it on.
Me either, but I'm just saying. But some people got some grills with just some beef ribs on it.
Yeah, then people got the nerve. I don't eat this. Well, get out.
You
don't eat what I'm cooking. Yeah, we'll bring what you like, and we'll throw it on a separate grill. You know what? Bring your grill. And bring it
right.
You know what I'm saying? You can grill your own food.
I've been all my life. I don't eat this. I remember down south, I told the people what I'll eat. They said, okay, well, you won't be eating too much.
That's right. They said, well, okay, fine. Go on in the corner somewhere and sit down. Now, we talked about this flag now, Mayor Wayne, and, you know, see, the one thing that this flag thing has done, now, first of all, it's escalated this. Purchases of these flags. The flags are flying off the shelves like hotcakes all across the country. And secondly, now our churches are being burned.
Churches,
the churches are being burned in retaliation for what is being done with the Confederate flag. It has resulted in churches being burned. Just like with President Obama, we got a black president, President Obama, elected in 2008, and everybody was gathering around a campfire, singing Kumbaya, and thinking, okay, we're going to be all right now. We got a black president. And President Obama's presidency has caused, you know, white supremacist gangs to quadruple in the last 6+ years that he's been president. And now we have a negative effect with this flag. Now, everybody's happy that the flag is coming down, but there are a lot of folks out there, white supremacists, et cetera, who love that flag. And that flag represents who they are and what they do, and they're willing to do whatever they can do to keep it up. So now what happens? Now what happens? Churches are being burned. Churches are being set on fire. The very same, in retaliation. Churches are being set on fire, Mayor Wayne, in retaliation of that flag.
Now, when Ruth came in that church, there was nobody calling for the flag. Yeah, you know, I mean, that flag has been, first of all, let's put this in context. The flag has been an issue for not just recently, but it's been an issue for a while. It's not just, you know, it's just getting more attention now and so forth. But it's been an issue all the while. People have called for the removal of that Confederate flag for a long time. It just basically got ignored. So the church burnings and the roof homicide, those things were going to happen because of the power of negative ideas that influences some sick people in our society, and they go out and act those ideas that they digest. So, you know, it's just like people would say during segregation, what did we get with an integrated lunch counter? Well, what did we get? We got an integrated lunch counter. People don't think that was of any value. And during that time when we were fighting against segregation for the right, the lunch counter was a symbol for us being able to go to any school we wanted, to buy any house we want, so forth and so on. The bus ride, people say, well, what did we get by, you know, not sitting on the bus, the hard way we had? They walked. They walked and didn't ride that bus. They boycotted, not for a week. They boycotted for over a year. And churches got burned in. So all of our struggles, that's why I'm telling you how important that idea is. It is so important to those of that racist ideology that they would go through all lengths to keep it up. Now, the wise people who figure out how to get our money have determined very quickly, oh, wait a minute, that's a dying breed there. They're not our consumer. When I look at who my consumer is, it's the people that are against the Confederate flag. And we're not going to sell it anymore. So when we talk about Amazon and Walmart and all those kind of people, they got a perspective that, like you said, it ain't all about doing the right thing. It's also doing the right thing for their business. And so while all of this stuff that we have fought to get a fair shake, the idea that our people were not three-fifths of a man, that our people have the ability to do and have like anybody else, we had to fight for that in our churches and our mosques and our places of worship, our meeting houses, our organizations were infiltrated. Hell, people trying to get together to talk about freedom. Dr. King, he was the lesser of evils than the black nationalists or cultural nationalists that were out there. They infiltrated both, all the groups. Whether
right,
it's the Baptists or the
right,
more progressive
right.
groups, so they just didn't want us to be able to survive. So that's the importance of these ideas. If they can keep these negative ideas in play, and that's why we have to fight them with everything that we have. And you know, we got other fights to fight too, but we can write and chew gum at the same time. Play sports and dance too. We can write books and be on TV too. We can be on the radio and be on television too. We can multitask, and life requires that as adults we have to multitask. You know, like while we are paying our bills, figuring out how to survive as an individual, we also go vote because we want to affect society. We want to hope the economy gets better. We want to
right.
keep. Yeah. So you know, that's just life. But I'll tell you that example of every struggle that we have, and it's really a struggle about ideas when you get down to the base of it, And when we fight vigorously against an idea, our churches get bombed because we're fighting for an idea that will make a more perfect union. Everybody doesn't want a more perfect union. Everybody doesn't want everybody to have the same change. Everybody doesn't want an equal playing field. And so they will fight with everything that they have to keep whatever advantages they think they have in a demented concept of a social environment.
Well, see, you said it yourself. You said the magic word when you talked about the bus boycott in Memphis that took place like just before Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was murdered by the Klan and other white supremacist groups. You said it yourself that we boycotted the buses. See, when we boycotted the buses, we took revenue out of the pockets of the bus company owners.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
So oh,
this is the thing. We took, see, when you affect the powers that be, when you affect their bottom line, that's the way that you're going to get their attention. If you affect their bottom line, and you said it earlier in the program.
But Ron, look at this.
No, hold on, man.
That's why Walmart and Amazon got in front of you.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about Walmart. I'm talking about what we can do because those flags are not going to stop anybody from shopping at Walmart. You know, what I'm talking about is that we as a people stopped riding that bus. You know, black folks was the premier rider of buses anyway back in the day. They probably are today because not all black people had cars, and black folks were probably the premier drivers, premier bus riders in the world, you know, in America at that time. So when black folks stopped riding the bus, they took money out of the pockets of the bus company owners, and the bus company owners felt that. They was like, oh, we got to do something because we're not making no money now. So you said it yourself, that we need to be, you know, we need to use our $1 trillion, or $500 billion buying power to affect the bottom line of some of these companies, because that's the only way they're going to get anybody's attention. That's the only way. We have to affect the bottom line of some of these companies in order for us to get their attention. And they, in turn, will turn to the government and say, look, y'all got to do something to lose the money. You're going to be losing money because you're going to be collecting less taxes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on down the line. So black, just like the Univision. Now, they had a weapon they could use against Donald Trump. They said, okay, look, we're not showing you anything. Donald Trump reacted. He didn't have any interest. The problem with black folks is we don't have anything to take away from anybody. We have nothing. You know, when black folks got together and rioted in Baltimore, nobody really cared. You know, white folks really didn't care about that. They were rioting in their neighborhoods, and they were like, sure, we don't care, as long as they don't come around here.
Adam Clayton Powell said, we have two things. It's what's in your hand. And what he meant by it is you got two things in your hand. You got your money, which I think you've addressed forthrightly, leveraging our economic clout to affect how people treat us and how we harness our resources to direct our money to institutions that support us and not support institutions that denigrate us. And number two is your power of your vote. And so, you know, whether people believe it or not, it is a very important barometer of what people say and do. Those are the two things that we have. And Adam Clayton Powell used to say, it's in your hand. Those two destinies nobody controls, but each individual makes that choice. But collectively, where we have a group consciousness, whether it's through our houses of worship, where we can direct some action, our unions, where we have some leverage as union members, our businesses, where we help grow and develop as consumer or as owners, our tenant associations, our block associations, our alumni associations, our family reunions, where we direct millions of dollars. I mean, people spend billions of dollars trying to affect who spends money where and how. We have that ability to do a whole lot of things. And then politically, if we vote, we can determine, listen, school boards are typically bigger in New Jersey bigger budgets than city budgets. I think you made the point when we were talking about, when we were talking to the assemblywoman. So, you know, we need to vote in every election, whether we want to or not. Find out who's running, who we think is closer to what benefits us, and vote in it. So when you, the school board election, who controls the minds of your kids and what kind of education is more important than the mayor? Because if we got competent, educated people, they can determine whatever goes on in the world.
You know what? That's
a great
soundbite. But
less people vote in those than vote in the presidential election.
Right, see, but that's a great soundbite, Mayor Wayne. But how can we come together? You know, you're on Facebook. You see what goes on when you go on Facebook or somebody has a social media platform, and you see what's happening. Black folks against black folks. Black, I mean, they call me a proxy, racist by proxy, because I don't agree with them in what their mantra is. So they call me a proxy racist. Because I don't agree with this.
Well, you know, listen, that's an honest and healthy debate. I agree with you. We must mature.
We must mature in our discourse. We must learn how to, we need to learn how to discuss things, and come to some kind of happy medium. We need to do that. We don't do that. We shut each other off. We call each other names. We ignore each other, and these are some of the things that happen.
Well, we can say, as Jesse was saying, let's find a common ground. I don't have to agree with your religion. I don't have to agree with what union you belong to, but can we figure out how we can do some stuff to make our neighborhood better? Can we invest and maybe buy some property and fix up so all of our property goes up? Can we figure out how we support a business that can hire your cousin, my son, your daughter, other people put aside, every people have their differences. They may disagree on religion. They may be the same religion. They may disagree on the denomination or the format or how one's house of worship is built or how one prays.
But they put that aside when it comes to
economic issues and educational issues so that their people have an opportunity to thrive in a dynamic economy that isn't always fair, and sometimes it goes to the people who are better organized at certain things.
But that's what I've been talking about. I've been talking about that ad nauseum about how we need to come together. There's certain other ethnic groups and other races and ethnic groups that are like, okay, I don't like you, but for this year, we need to come together because we're better together than we are apart. And we need to get past some things and utilize each other, because everybody has something to contribute. Anyway, everybody has something to contribute. But with us, once we don't agree with you, you're persona non grata. You don't exist anymore because you don't agree with what I'm saying. And we need to get away from that, because everybody, whether I agree with you or not, everybody has a contribution to make.
No, absolutely. And I think, everybody should work in whatever they consider their place. So, look, this has been a historic struggle in our community about the different approaches to advancement. If you go back to Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois, the classic example of should everybody pursue an elitist, some people view it as elitist, university education, or just be a part of the academy? Can all of us even achieve that? And go after our political rights, or should there be a focus on let's work and economize and help ourselves and not be so concerned with the political dynamics? Well, I don't necessarily agree with all of that. There's some great merit to that approach. There's great merit to the other approach as well, and some people have certain abilities to achieve that, and some people have certain abilities to achieve that. They should be working together because they can benefit each other. So, that struggle is going to always be, and then always have our religious fights. My religion is better than yours, and that's the way of life we should live, da-da-da-da. But, the spiritual is the spiritual. God is going to settle that argument for all of us, right? Whatever it is, right?
Eventually.
One day.
Yeah, yeah. So, but while, you know, and when you look at the base of it, most of them have something in common. Anyway, okay, so we agree on that. Let's coexist and try to help where we should help. A lot of times, right, different strands run across families, so that makes people work together. But, you know, listen, you have struggles in your own family trying to keep a family together at times.
Yeah, but people need to put their differences, especially black folks in particular, need to learn how to put their differences to the side and work together, because the issue, you see, is bigger than you. You know, see, there are lots of black folks out there.
Look, the Republicans didn't put their issues aside. They had a president at every turn. Now, he's outfoxed them on some stuff, and he's gotten some stuff that he thought was a part of his agenda done despite that. But they didn't put their differences aside to work with it, and they weren't black.
Right, but I don't really care about the Republicans. They don't put them aside.
I'm just using that as a kind of contrast.
And I understand that, but we need to put our differences to the side. See, that's something that we can't do. Once I disagree with you, if you're not following my lead, if you're walking in lockstep with me, you're out. And that's the trouble with people in the black community. And how are we going to come to – how are we going to ever be able to come together to conquer some of the issues that we have? It's not going to happen at this point. It's not going to happen because we're too divided. Forget about this Willie Lynch and slavery and all that stuff that would happen. You know, we know that stuff happened, and we need to move past it, because you see people railing against the white man, slavery this, slavery that. I mean, what are you going to do about it? I mean, what can you do about slavery at this point? What can you cannot go back and unring the bell. You can't go back and change history. History is what it was. The black folks are allowing slavery to rob them. They're hanging back there in slavery, and they're allowing it to rob them of any progress. Because everybody's talking about slavery. There's nothing. Those people are long dead. You know, there's, you know, folks who engaged in slavery back in the day, and there's really nothing you can do about that. There's nothing that you can do. There's a lot of people out there just wasting their time talking about slavery, talking about racism. Racism is never going to end. It's never going to end. There's going to be racism until somebody drops the bomb or God comes back, whatever comes first. There's going to be racism in this country. It's never going to change. And people need to get a grip on that. Nobody's going to have racism.
But listen, speaking of Donald Trump,
and that's not going to stop it. Yeah, Donald Trump. Yeah.
Just speaking of Donald, right? You know, he lost his job on Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, he's a billionaire. I mean, he can afford to lose a few jobs.
Well, listen. But he wanted to have it, right? So they took it from him. Guess who they replaced him with?
A Mexican?
That was funny. No, with Jay-Z.
Well, you know what? Good move. Mm-hmm. Good move. Jay-Z.
They're good ladies for sure now. So it says, yes. Jay-Z to replace Donald Trump as the head of Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump's media empire continues to crumble following his idiotic comments about Mexican immigrants in the United States. The 2006 Republican presidential candidate said Mexicans are drug runners and rapists in his announcement last month. Bad news for Trump. Seems to be great news for Jay-Z. The popular black website Media Takeout is reporting Jigga will take on the lead in Celebrity Apprentice coming up this year. And as of now, Media Takeout is the only outlet reporting this news, but we refine the story and the developments. Recently, NBC and Univision removed all ties to Donald Trump by voiding their contracts to air his Miss America pageant and The Apprentice. However, the show Celebrity Apprentice is actually owned and contracted through another company, so NBC will continue to air the show without Trump. Enter Jay-Z.
And the thing about that, if we're going to talk about that, and say we'll take a quick break, we'll come back and we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about the fact that Donald Trump is still second
in the presidential primary.
Right, despite those comments and despite the blowout and the fallout that you know, the reactions of these companies and what have you, Donald Trump is still second. We'll take a break.
It's only 10%, so you got almost 20 people running. And so the hardcore racists in the party, that extreme right, gravitated to him after he said that.
Right, but he's still second. And we're going to.
You know what? Yeah, whatever the reason, he's still second, right?
Right, whatever the reason, he's still second. And he's still second because what he says resonates with a lot of white folks. It resonates with them. We're going to talk about that in a whole lot more when we come back with 15 minutes before the hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Ron Kelly Show with Mayor Wayne Smith, and it's on Blog Talk
Radio. The Ron Kelly Show. On blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
That's including Mayor Wayne Smith. It's the Ron Kelly Show for Friday, July 3rd, 2015, just one day before the 4th of July, the birth day of the United States of America, 238th birthday of the United States of America. We'll be celebrating that tomorrow, and there's a big terror presence. Although nothing has been, there's no direct threat has been made against our country, no direct threat, but there's still a huge police presence going to be in New York, just across the water from where we are right now, tomorrow. They're suggesting that everybody goes out and just has a good time. I don't know if you can actually do that without thinking about the terror, some of the terror events that have happened around the world. But you better think twice before you come over here. Okay, we're talking about the flag and Donald Trump being second. Now, I think that's significant. Because most of the people that are Mayor Wayne who are running for president has held elective office at one time.
Yeah, he's higher in the polls than Chris.
Right, you got people who have held elective, some who have held, some who are holding elective office. Now, Donald Trump is the only one that does not, that has not ever held elective office. I don't know anybody wants to be, wants a person who's never held elective office to be president. I certainly wouldn't want that. That doesn't do with Donald Trump, but who he is. Well, it does a little bit. But, but see, the thing is that what Donald Trump is saying is resonating with a lot of white people. They like Donald Trump. They like his guttiness and his you know, in-your-face, smash-mouth type of rhetoric. You know, people like that. And you'd be surprised. Well, I'm not surprised in any way at all. You might be. But his message about the Mexicans, see, that's the way a lot of people think about Mexicans. That's how a lot of white people think about Mexicans. That they're dirty and they come here and they cause, wreak all kinds of havoc. And they, you know, there are lots of folks who are resentful of the Mexicans and coming over here and people who just don't want them here.
And well, that's Donald the battle over immigration, you know.
Right.
So
well, no, they just don't want them. They don't give a damn about immigration. They just don't want them here. They just do not want those people here. This is the bottom line. They don't want them here. And the issue, again, you know, people are. Donald Trump's message resonates with a lot of people. It really does. And see, and this is why he's got the 12%. He's right behind Jeb Bush. Now, how could Donald Trump be ahead of all the other people? Huckabee, who was a governor. Pataki, who was a governor. Christie, who is a governor. And so on and so forth. Some of these people, Lindsey Graham, who's a senator. All these people who are holding or have held elective office, and Donald Trump is ahead of all of them. Because Donald Trump is not trying to be politically correct. Donald Trump is saying whatever's on his mind, and that's what the people want.
That's what Chris Christie's saying in his campaign. He's saying, you know, I'm not going to pander to you. I'm going to give it to you. You know, he's got that reputation. So it's early. The pollsters are saying that Jeb Bush – by kind of centrist Republicans, and that's even in their party, the conservatives are split up. So nobody is getting that 15 to 20% except, you know, the closest person to that is Jeb, who can pick up all strands of the party. So the fringe element doesn't have anybody to ride to because they're all split up. So here comes the new fringe guy, Donald Trump. No ties to anybody, so they can express their support for a guy like him. He's self-made. He might be more of a Tea Party because he's truly independent. He doesn't rely on the party apparatus for anything. He has none. I mean, he'll buy some as the race unfolds, but nobody's taking him serious. And, you know, while that fringe element will give him a bump, you know,
they have given him a bump. They have given him a bump.
They're giving him a bump, but it's not going to go much further than that. Trump has capped out, and you know, and the other people will build their base and their numbers through organization and other things. So when it's all said and done, now Trump can out-Trump them, no pun on words, by his name recognition alone. So that's also a factor in his numbers. Some people don't know what he said. They just know his name. Oh, yeah, Donald Trump, he's got all the casinos. He's a rich billionaire. We'll support him.
Yeah, he's rich. And people want somebody who doesn't act like a politician. They're tired of politics. They're tired of politicians. And as well they should be. Because over the last 7 years or so, you've seen more gridlock in Washington, D.C. than you've ever seen on the L.A. freeway. It's just gridlock. You know, they held poor Loretta Lynch, held her hostage until the Obama government capitulated and allowed them to have that, pass that law regarding the human slavery law. They held Loretta Lynch hostage for 3 or 4 months until the Obama administration finally, you know, caved in and gave the GOP what they want. Because, for example, Loretta Lynch didn't have any type of she has a stellar record of achievement. She's the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District, one of the toughest districts in the world as far as being a U.S. attorney. And she has a stellar record. So there was no reason for them to hold her back like that, but they did. So people see all of this stuff. They see the gridlock. They see the hostage taking. They see the blackmailing that goes on between the Obama administration and the GOP controlled House and Senate. They, you know, people are tired of this stuff. So they want a Trump to come in who sounds like them. They want a Trump to come in who thinks like them and says what they want to hear. And Donald, I just don't agree with you, man, Wayne. I think that Donald Trump, while I don't think he'll win the nomination, but I do think he'll be someone to be, you know, he's got a horse in this race, I believe.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the more Donald Trump talks, the more he's going to reveal of himself that he's not ready for public life.
Well,
that he's a spoiled billionaire who grew up with money. His father gave him a start. He ain't no self-made guy. Fred Trump gave him a start. Fred Trump used to own even property in Jersey. What he did was take the family business from the outer boroughs and bring it to Manhattan. But he started out with a nice, comfortable base of money because Fred Trump was no poor man. So he went to one of the best business schools in the world, in Wharton Business School, and Fred Trump paid for it. So, so my point is, Donald is other than that Celebrity Apprentice, which is scripted, has never really been under the public scrutiny. If you know anything about Donald's, even his business practices, he stays in lawsuits. He steps on small people as a business strategy. He enters a contract with you and then tries to get you to give him a lower price after he contracted with you. And what he would do, and he jokes about it. I've read his books. He jokes about it. He says, you just withhold the payment, they'll usually back down. So he's a power hungry, uses his business to really beat up the small guy who built those glorious buildings for him. And, I mean, his history is well documented. Bankrupt a ton of companies, came back. So, I mean, listen, I don't think Donald Trump is ready to be a governor. I don't think Donald Trump is ready to be he's no Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg had his issues, but at least the guy had enough class to handle the job a certain way and not be so bombastic. Here's a guy, Donald Trump, who took out a full-page ad in the Daily News, New York Post, when those three innocent kids who went to jail for nothing in the Central Park jogger case. Donald Trump, he had tried and convicted them before they even, when he heard it was three black kids and a white woman, he took out full-page ads, literally almost to say, hang them. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, and you know, and he got a lot of the things are going to come out. What he did to Ivanka, you know, poor wife who was on the front lines.
God beat him up.
Right.
Yeah, well, you don't believe in same sex marriage, but you believe in multiple marriages, huh?
Right. Because he used Ivanka. Ivanka was the glue behind the Trump organization. And she was the one who really smoothed things over. But Donald has a way of stomping over people, stomping their heads like melons. And I believe Ivanka in her position as Trump's wife, and she was president of the Trump organization at one time.
You're absolutely right.
Ivanka was the president, and she ran a lot of his companies. And she was the one. She was the one who.
You don't hear much about her anymore, either. She's not
Ivanka,
a socialite like she used to be.
Yeah, no, Ivanka, I don't even believe Ivanka even lives. Well, you know what, Mayweather, she was in the Donald spotlight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, so that's why she got a lot of attention,
right.
Yeah.
So when she got away from him, that's when she began to just be a regular person, when she got away from him. Because, you know, especially when the thing exploded about them breaking up and all of this stuff, and it was all in the papers and you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, I don't agree with you, Mayor Wayne. I do think that Donald Trump has a horse in this race, and he's going to be around for a minute. Do I think he's going to win the nomination? No. But he's going to get people to talking, because he's already doing that. I listened to a Waldo today, because I listened to a lot of talk radio. I listened to her, get about 2.5 minutes up. I listened to Geraldo today, and people were like, "Oh, I like Donald Trump. I love Donald Trump. I like what he's saying. He's straight. He's not a politician. He doesn't sound like a politician. This side of that." And people are gravitating toward him, Mayor Wayne. They're gravitating toward him. And so
they gravitating toward Bernie Sanders, but he won't be president.
Well, Bernie Sanders Bernie Sanders, yeah, he's gotten the biggest. As a matter of fact, Bernie Sanders has gotten the biggest. Audiences out of everybody.
Yeah, you're right, but he won't be president.
GOP or Democrat.
Yeah.
And he's gotten the biggest audiences. You know, do I think he'll be president? No, I don't think he'll be president. Does he present a problem for Hillary Clinton? Yes, he does.
But he's going to make her address some issues
does.
That she ain't going to want to address.
Well, she's going to have to. See, because Hillary Clinton is. See, Hillary has to stop sounding like a politician, because Hillary Clinton does sound like a politician.
Mm-hmm.
In her speeches, she sounds monotone.
Because Hillary Clinton is a politician.
Yeah, but she has to show but she has to show her human side. See, that's what Donald Trump is doing. Donald Trump is showing his human side, and that's what's attractive to a lot of people. They don't want to
hear human with that, bro.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's human. He can treat people like animals. Okay.
Yeah, he's a human. You know, with that hideous comb over and everything, he's still a human being. And people like the brashness and the boldness of a Donald Trump. White folks are gravitating toward him. And that's why he's second. And that's a significant, that's very significant, Mayor Wayne, that he's second. You know, even though it's very early, but you have some people in that race who, some big names. But Donald Trump is not Donald Trump is like Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh says what he wants to say, but nobody will ask him to appear at one of their campaign rallies because he's too controversial. But he says what everybody wants. He says what Republicans want to say, but won't say. Hi, everybody. I'm on 15 seconds. I want to thank everybody for joining us this afternoon. Mayor Wayne Smith, the mayor of Irvington. We'll talk about that on another show.
Bye-bye, my friend. Great holiday.
Yeah, all right. Take care, man. Wayne, thank you. Have a good holiday. All right, everybody, you have a good holiday. We'll see you back here next week.